días. That's all my Spanish. So no, not all of it, most of it. It's good to be here with you this morning. I wasn't here last Sunday. I'm sure some of you noticed. Yeah. Missed our flight, actually. And it was all my fault. Terrible. So you have to drive to the right airport to get to your flight. I went to the wrong airport. I really did. Anyway, these things happen. Well, if you could turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. It's a privilege to be here with you this morning. It's very nice to not be in snow. That's my personal preference, not to be in snow. Yeah. So Philippians 3. And I'll go ahead and pray for our time in the Word. Father, thank you so much that we can be here, that we can worship you, that we can consider your Word and how it applies to our lives. And Lord, ask that you would meet each one this morning, that you would speak through your Word, that, Lord, that you would be glorified here in our midst. And as we consider moving into a new year, a new season, that you would be at the center, that you would be the focus of what we're pursuing. That would be our heart. And so, Lord, we give you this time. In Jesus' name, amen. So here we are, New Year's Eve morning. Do you remember when the year 2000 was a big deal? And here we are, 2018. Crazy. Well, New Year's, the end of the year, beginning of a new one, you know, often considered a milestone. We consider how the past year has been. We look forward to the coming year, especially if maybe 2017 wasn't that kind to you. You're really hoping and praying that 2018 is going to be kind to you. And we often take this, you know, maybe it's a new opportunity for change in our lives. Many people will do New Year's resolutions, right? They're going to exercise more. So they buy the exercise equipment and all that stuff. And then 2 weeks into the new year, they're going to hang their clothes on it and, you know, use it to store clothes and not going to use it. Going to eat better, learn a new language, whatever it is, you know, have these things like, okay, it's a new year. I'm going to have new things that I'm going to do. Well, as believers, we can approach a new year from more of a spiritual vantage point, reflecting on our lives and, you know, where we would like to see our lives, maybe this time next year, if the Lord tarries. Where would we like to be in our relationship with Jesus? Where would we like to be or see him do in and through our lives in this coming year? And maybe what changes? Maybe he is calling you to get some exercise. I don't know. But what changes is he possibly calling you to make in 2018? Good things for us to consider when we approach these milestones like a new year. Well, here in Philippians 3, as Paul, as he's writing to the Philippian believers there, some verses that are, you know, we can really apply as we really on the doorstep of walking into this new year. And as Paul writes, you may notice that he's going to use kind of the description of running a race, a foot race. As, you know, in different places in the scriptures, our Christian life is compared to running this race. A race that all of us in Christ, that we all find ourselves in as we approach this new year. How are we to run? So chapter 3, verse 12, Paul writes, "Not that I have already attained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have obtained. So Paul, he's writing to the Philippians, to the church there in Philippi, and he's writing from a prison cell in Rome. He has been arrested for his faith and his faithfulness in proclaiming the gospel. And by this point in his life and in his personal race of faith, he's been running now for about 30 years. And during those decades that he has been running and serving, he's experienced much joy in seeing people receive Christ. He's seeing churches planted. But he's also experienced great hardships. You know, we can read of his hardships, shipwrecks, beatings, all sorts of things that we couldn't imagine, perilous journeys. He's also seen the hardship of seeing close companions walk away from the Lord. So he's had a lot of experience as a believer. And when we would think of his relationship with Jesus, it would best be described as intimate, as close. And his knowledge of God's truths, of the gospel, are in depth, which we see in his writings, you know, all of his letters, but in particularly in Romans and Galatians. Just the depth of theology that Paul knew firsthand. And so it would be right for us to say that Paul was a spiritual giant among men who had been running his race like no other, perhaps the greatest missionary that has ever lived. And yet here he writes in verse 12, not that I have already obtained or am already perfected, but I press on. I press on. Paul wanted his readers to know that even though he had gained spiritual maturity and he had run very, very closely with the Lord, that he hadn't arrived at the finish line yet. He had reached, you know, he hadn't reached some pinnacle of spiritual perfection where he could now just stop and stay there until his life was finished. No, he says, no, I press on. I keep moving forward. There was still ground for him to take in his race. There was still growth in his character and in his relationship with Christ that could take place. And so Paul, he had a very healthy view of himself. He didn't fall into the trap of looking back and comparing himself to others who maybe weren't running as good as he had been running. He didn't do that. He wasn't comparing himself with others in that way. And that's a real trap that we can fall into, that many fall into, that they think that they're more spiritual because they look back at others and they go, oh, they haven't been running like me. Look at me. But they're not looking ahead to those that are moving forward. And they can be, you know, tempted to be filled with pride, rather than looking forward towards the finish line. And so instead of looking back, Paul, he looks forward and he's comparing himself to the one he was pursuing. He was comparing himself to the one who is and who is at the finish line, Christ, the only perfect one. As the writer of Hebrews exhorts us to do the same. You can turn there if you want to. I'm just going to read it to you. In Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. It says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So the writer of Hebrews says, let's lay everything aside. Let's the sin, compromise, all of that stuff, and let's keep our eyes on Jesus and keep running forward towards Him. Running towards Him. That we'd cast off anything that may be slowing us down. Being honest with ourselves of where we're really at. In Christ, the good and the bad. Not comparing ourselves with others, but looking at Jesus. Comparing ourselves with Him, the perfect one. And if we do that, there's no room for pride. Because we easily go, okay, I'm not like Jesus. There's a lot of work that still needs to be done. And it won't be finished until I see Him face to face. Much more to do. We realize we're far from perfect. And that anything good that comes in and through our lives, it's because of Him. It's because of what He's doing in our lives and through our lives. Well, Paul, knowing that there was still room for him to grow, knowing his imperfections, being aware that that he could still press forward, he says, I press on. I press on. He keeps moving forward. He keeps running. I don't know if you've experienced in your Christian walk or race, your life, where we can reach a point where we can get comfortable. And with that comfort, we can also get complacent. Yeah. And in so doing, we can stagnate. We can become cool. Or cold, even, in our pursuit of Christ. I know in my own life that's happened. But you know, he's comparing this to a race. Our life is a race. And it's not a short sprint. Long distance marathon. Yeah. Could you imagine if you were watching the Olympics, and there's the runners, and they're running, and they're going full speed, but then they kind of get comfortable. You get a little comfortable with, you know, where they're at in the race, and they just kind of step off the track, and there's like, you know, a little table there with some tea, and they sit down, and they, could you imagine that? That'd be a little odd, right? No, keep running, keep going, you're not to the finish line yet. But see, we can do that in our Christian lives. We can get to a point where we're just, I'm comfortable here, and I'm gonna sit down and have some tea. And you know, such cooling or coldness, it hinders our walk with the Lord, what He desires to do in and through our lives. And many times when we reach a place like that, our heart gets in a place where we're much more likely to compromise with sin because we're not so vigilant anymore. We're much more in a place where we're willing to pick up those weights that will slow us down. It's been well said that if we're not moving forward in the Christian life, we're moving backwards. There's not a stopping point. We begin to slip back. Now remember where Paul's at. He's in prison. He's in prison, but he says, I press on. How do you press on, Paul? You're in prison. You have nowhere to go. Oh, because he can press on in his relationship with the Lord, can't he? He can press on in his ministry there in the prison. If we read Philippians, we know that he had an incredible ministry there in the prison itself. You see, Paul, he didn't let his circumstances determine whether or not he could press on, press forward with Christ. He was going to keep moving forward despite his circumstances. He wasn't going to be a prisoner of his circumstances. See the difference? Because we can become a prisoner of our circumstances, can't we? And go, oh, well, I can't run anymore. I might as well just sit. Oh, but we can. Jesus is in the midst of all of our circumstances. And we can draw near to Him in whatever they are. And keep pressing forward with Him. And so Paul, he's a great example to us. Although he has reached great spiritual maturity, intimacy with the Lord, which I would venture that I have not reached even to what he has attained at this point. He says, I'm not going to cool off. I'm not going to get comfortable. I am going to press on. I'm going to keep running. I'm not going to let the circumstances slow me down. And the word that Paul uses here for the I press on in the Greek, they use that in terms of hunting, where a hunter is giving everything he's got to get his prey. And it also became used for foot races, describing those who are they're giving everything that they have in order to reach the finish line. When I was younger and thinner, one of my jobs is I just worked at a normal like grocery store type place, but we had undercover security. And the undercover security, they would arrest shoplifters. And they loved any kind of help that they could get, and I was very eager to help. Yeah, this is also before I was a Christian. When I saw this word, it reminded me of what I would do. We had a certain code that they would give on the intercom to let everybody know there's a shoplifter running out the door. And that meant for me, I would drop whatever I was doing, didn't matter, and I was going to chase that guy down. And have you seen people running through traffic chasing? I did that kind of stuff where I was just running after someone, you know, dodging the cars because I was going to get that guy because he had stolen from our shop. I was going to get him. Yeah. And that's kind of what this word is conveying, is just that earnestness, that desire. We're going to catch that. Well, I was running after bad guys, right? But in our text, what we want to run after, what we want to pursue is Jesus. Run after him in all that he has for us in this life to pursue in that way. That's what Paul's describing here. I'm going to pursue what Christ has for me. I press on. He continues on. He says, I press on that I may lay a hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. I press on. And that word that laid hold in the Greek, it's to seize or to snatch. That's exactly what I would do with the guys when I would finally catch up to them. Is I would everything I you know I would grab them, so we could citizen's arrest. Yeah, would get them. Well, Paul says, I press on, so that I can grab hold of everything that Christ grabbed a hold of me for. And the way he describes it, he describes Jesus snatching him, saving him in this very dramatic way. God snatched me. And we see that conversion on the road to Damascus. It was dramatic, wasn't it? Jesus revealed himself to Paul and snatched him out of his sin, the direction he was going. And so Paul says, you know what? Christ snatched me. He snatched me. And now I want to grab a hold. I want to snatch everything that he has laid before me to live in. Everything that he has for me. I want to grab a hold of that. I want to press forward with that and grab a hold of that. Not missing everything or anything that Jesus had planned for his life. Not missing one thing that Jesus wanted to do in and through his life, but instead being in a place where he could grab a hold of all of it. I don't know about you, but I want to lay a hold of everything that God has laid a hold of me for. In this coming year, in however many years until whatever, I die or the Lord comes back. But my heart can grow cold at times. I can get comfortable at times. I can let my circumstances slow me down. I can step aside from the track in a sense and grab that cup of tea. But that's not where I want to be. I want to be pursuing. what he has for me. And so here we are, 2018 soon, right? And I want to experience everything that he has for me in this coming year. And may we all be in a place where we want to be in that spot where we can grab a hold of everything that he has for us in this coming year. To use your life in the way that he desires to do that, you know, the deep work that he does in our lives that only he can do, that we would be open to that, that we'd be in a place where we're open to laying a hold, seizing upon all that he desires to do in and through our lives in this coming year. That no weight of coldness or coolness or compromise or any of that stuff would slow us down. Because he saved each one of us with great purpose and intent. Great purpose. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. Some of my favorite verses. Paul writing to the Ephesians at the same time that he's writing to the Philippians, really. And he writes there, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." That word workmanship, it's poema, it's where we get the English word poem. It can also be translated as masterpiece. That you are God's work of art that he is working on, and that he has saved you with great purpose to glorify himself in and through your life. And how he does that is he has set before you good works that you can run or walk in, as it says there, that you can walk in, that he wants to do in and through your life. Works that only you can do. I can't do them. He set them before you. And he wants to use you for them. And so that we would be in a place where we desire to grab a hold of all of those good works that he has set before us to do that will glorify him and that will change us and make us more like Jesus as well. Well, Paul, he also says here, he tells us one thing that he does about this pressing forward. One way that he seeks to lay a hold of all of what Christ has laid a hold of him for. In verse 13, he says, "Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead." Instead of being fooled into thinking that he's arrived or that he's there, when in reality there's more length of track to go, he says, one thing I do, like a runner who's focused on one thing, the finish line. It's got that focus. The one thing I do, I focus on that, and I forget those things that are behind. I forget those things. Paul chose to leave the past in the past. Not that he could erase it from his memory. He didn't have like a magic erase button. But that he would choose to leave the past in the past, not letting it define his present or his future. The way that he forgot, what he means is that he didn't allow it to affect the present, the now, to not be affected by it. A commentator wrote this about it. He says, in regards to forgetting, it simply means that we break the power of the past by living for the future. We cannot change the past, but we can change the meaning of the past. there were things in Paul's past that could have been weights to hold him back, but they became inspirations to speed him ahead. The events did not change, but his understanding of them had changed. And so the picture is of a runner who's not letting the past affect their future. Maybe they started the race, they slipped in the blocks. They weren't going to let that determine what they were doing now. Or maybe at the beginning of the race, they are at the head of the pack. But realizing that that doesn't matter at the end of the race, if you're not at the head of the pack then, because that's in the past. You need to keep moving forward, moving into the future. Yeah. Leaving the past in the past, whether it's victory or defeat. Leaving that behind, moving forward. You know, how many people are tragically letting the past defeat them in the present? That happens. Whether they're holding on to defeat or to victory. Defeat, you know, maybe a hurt that they're letting it defeat them now. Maybe it's victory, what they're letting it defeat them now because they're still kind of, oh, you know, God was doing great things in my life 20 years ago. Great. 20 years ago. What about today? And so Paul says, you know what? I leave it in the past. I move forward. I keep pressing forward. And so as much as is up to us that we would leave the past in the past, that we would keep pressing forward in this coming year, pursuing Christ, pursuing all that he has laid a hold of us for, all those good works that he has set before us. Instead of letting the failures, the successes of 2017 define 2018, that we would forget. We would forget those things, keep going forward. And he says, you know what? I forget. I leave that stuff behind. I keep pressing forward to the goal. For the upward prize, the upward call of God in Christ Jesus, I keep heading towards the finish line, which is Jesus and glory to come. Yeah. And he uses that, this reaching forward, or here in the translation I have here, straining forward. And it's very descriptive. It's literally straining with everything that you've got moving forward. It's that picture of the runner that, you know, they're getting close to the finish line. They know that there's people right on their heels, and they give everything that they possibly can in order to get across the finish line first. Me chasing the bad guys. I remember what it was like. Oh, they're just a little bit farther away. And somehow I would get just a little bit more energy so I could catch them, grab a hold of them. Yeah. And so as we enter into this new year, let us leave the past in the past and move forward with all that we are in Christ and all that he has for us. Propelling ourselves towards the finish line. Look at verse 15. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have obtained. Although Paul hasn't arrived yet, he does say he's reached a level of maturity as a runner. And that there are others in Philippi that they've reached a level of maturity as well. But he still exhorts them to keep moving forward, to keep pressing on, leaving the past in the past, continuing to press forward towards the finish line. And he calls them to build upon the maturity that and the endurance that they have gained, not resting in it, but building upon that. as they move forward. And he uses another analogy there of walking, which seems strange because he's talking about walking in the midst of using words describing a runner's race. But this reminds me that in Christ, together, what he's described here, verse 17 says, "Brother, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example that you have." So he's talking about us together, that walking together, that yeah, we're running. We're running individually in a sense, but we're also running together. That in Christ, we're all in this race together. Unlike a foot race that only has one winner, in our race of faith, there are many winners. Now, you and I, we're in different stages in our races. Your course looks a little bit different than my course, but Christ is the goal for each one of us. And we're all to be moving forward to the goal, but as we're moving forward in our race, we're not called to do so alone. We're not running alone. Sometimes it feels like it, but we're not called to run alone. We're a team. We're a body in Christ, knit together in Him. You know, I am closer to you, even though maybe I haven't even met you yet, I'm closer to you than some of my blood relatives because they're not in Christ. But you are. We're family. Yeah. And so we're a team. We're running together. We're running together. And he calls the mature in the faith to help the young in the faith. And the young, they can help the mature in return. Helping one another as we're propelling ourselves, as we're moving forward towards the finish line. Before my chasing bad guys days, when I was even younger, I was on a cross-country team. And definitely not the best on the team. I would never qualified first. I don't even think I qualified first in the pack that I was supposed to qualify in, but I ran. And I still remember the track that we ran on. It was a pretty grueling track where we had to run down a valley and up the side of a mountain and then down this valley again and then up a little hill, yeah? And I don't really remember what happened on this particular race, but I was down in the valley and I just had the little hill towards me and I fell. I don't know what happened, but I fell. I fell and I hurt my knee, so I was no longer running as I got up. I got up, and I went to run, and I couldn't run anymore. And two of my teammates were close by, and what did they do? They came up, one on each side of me, both grabbing an arm, putting them on their shoulders, and we hobbled, walked, ran to the finish line. Now, their times would have been much better if they would have just ran on past me. But they didn't do that. It was more important for them to have their teammate finish. It was more important to them to do that. And so they helped me across the finish line. And that's a great picture for us, is that we're together in this race. And we want to run well. And we want to help others run well too. That we would come alongside them and help them run their race as best as they can. Paul wrote another letter while in prison, Galatians. And in Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, and this is the last place I'll mention it. He writes, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. The Greek there that's used for trespass, it literally means a false step. A false step, which means to give way in your footing. And so if we have this picture of runners that are running, a runner that's running just like I was running and I lost my footing and I fell. But then what happened? My teammates came and they picked me up and they bore me across the finish line. Yeah. And so God can use us to do that as well. Helping our brothers and sisters in 2018 to run their race well. That if they slip, whether it's sin or whether it's something else, that we would help them to get up, that we would bear them up and help them to run well. And as we run, looking at our author and our finisher of our race, Jesus, who's at the end. One last story. That same cross-country track team that I was on, even though I was never the best runner, I always knew who was going to be at the end of the finish line. They were going to be clapping for me. They were going to be smiling. They're going to be shouting my name. And they would even give me a hug when I reached the end. And that was my coach. You know, I've had many teachers and coaches, and I don't remember their names. But I remember Coach Roach was his name. Because he was the best coach. He was there for me at the finish line. Didn't matter where I placed, he was there. And you know, in our race of faith, there is one who is cheering us on. One who has already gone and done the race before us. One who's going to welcome us into our heavenly reward with a glowing smile, a loving hug, with words of reward on his lips, which say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." He's going to be there. And so, let us leave the past in the past. Try to forget. Let us move forward. And let's run for his glory. Run for him. Let us run even better tomorrow than we do today. Because we have great opportunity. He's laid opportunity before us all to press into him. And to press into what he has for us and wants to do in and through our lives. I'll go ahead and pray for you guys.